In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the second gospel we just heard, appointed for today, Christ likens a man and his soul to a house, which if it's built upon a rock, then it can't be knocked down by even the fiercest winds and rain. But that if it's not built upon a rock, but upon sand, then its fall is very great. And in the world today, we see this sort of a storm blowing right now. And whatever the intentions or motivations or objectives of the people who are whipping up the storm, and they may say responding to a storm that somebody else whipped up, the fact is that many souls are going to be brought to calamity in these days, to a great fall. And perhaps, may God grant it be more, but perhaps only a few will stand firm. But what is it that the wise man does? He hears the sayings of Christ. And what are those sayings? A wise priest I know once said that if you'd like to know what the gospel is all about, that you should read Matthew 5 through 7. This is the Sermon on the Mount. And I tell people that often, and I encourage you to do that with some regularity, because it can be easy to lose sight of what exactly it is that we're supposed to be doing on a given day. There's so many tasks that the world gives you. In fact, one of the elders of Optina would say that it would seem as if all of the tasks that the world requires you to fulfill couldn't be done in 100 years. And there's no delay that can be permitted. But when it comes to spiritual things, he lamented, it seems that we have no time for them and that they can be put off until the end, but by the end it's too late. So right now there's a lot of sayings, placards and banners and all sorts of things that tell you that they have a solution to all your problems and to the problems of this world. But I haven't noticed any that actually contain any of these sayings, which you will find in Matthew 5 through 7. It's a rather radical, actually, if you call it revolutionary if you like, but some might say that, but rather radical prescriptions that are laid out by the Lord. One of the reasons why he was crucified is that what he was teaching was a radical departure from what the Jewish people of the day were expecting, particularly the leaders of the people. They were expecting deliverance. As the Maccabees had delivered them from the Alexandrian Greeks, they expected deliverance from the Romans by the promised Messiah. So they had had a number of uprisings already, and Christ, among those who believed in him, maybe on the basis of what they hoped to get out of him more than on what he was saying to them, they hoped and believed that he was that Messiah, that new Maccabean who would arise among them and would cast off the yoke. But he said, notably, he said very little, really nothing, except that he was always encouraging them to follow, to live at peace insofar as it was possible with the civil authorities, with their neighbors around them. Even if they were sued at the law, it says in Matthew 5:40, if a man sues thee at the law, takes away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. And before that, in 39, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Of course, we know that there are many prescriptions about loving your enemies, blessing those who curse you, praying for those who use you despitefully. And all of these are very beautiful. They sound like very good things to do, but then there's the day where you have to do them. That's today and tomorrow and the rest of your life. Every day you'll have to fulfill those. It might be with somebody in your own household, maybe with somebody at school or work. It may be the people on the television that you need to stop for a moment and pray for. Because as St. Silouan the Athonite would say, he who speaks against evil men but does not pray for them will never know the grace of God. We shouldn't fool ourselves into thinking that we have anything that could be called righteous indignation or righteous anger toward the enemies of God if we have no prayer. Now, I don't mean, of course, to lump in everyone into that. There are many people out that are protesting today, many people that are speaking out against injustice and against violence, and in any form in which that is found in our society, it is to be condemned. oppression, violence, cruelty, hatred. Of course we condemn those. We do nothing but condemn them as Christians. But it's not enough to condemn. Then you have to do the opposite. You have to live out the virtues that you would like others to manifest. Charity, long-suffering, kindness, patience. And so that's where the real battle is. It's very easy to identify evil, very hard to live the virtuous opposite of it. And our house will not stand, and we will be brought down by these floods and storms around us if we do not build upon the rock, which is Christ himself. The foundation of our life ought to be Christ. At every moment we should be looking and remembering, thinking about Christ's teachings. How should I handle this situation? How should I deal with this person? What is it that I'm supposed to be doing right now? If you forget, if you don't know, then go back to Matthew 5 through 7 and read it again. Now, when reading them, you might feel some despondency of heart, and you might think, well, this is very hard. I don't think I can do this. And isn't it a great mercy that in St. Matthew's Gospel, that right after he tells us about this great need to build upon the rock, we hear about the leper who came to the Lord worshiping him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. My dear ones, that's all of us, isn't it? We should be saying the same to the Lord. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean, because I know that I'm filthy inside, and I have so much refuse that doesn't belong there, and I end up spilling it out on people around me. Make me clean, Lord. And the Lord said, See, and the Lord said unto him, putting forth his hand and touching him, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now, we could imagine that Christ being the high priest, the great high priest, being the king of the universe, the Son of God, could have left it right there. But then he said something more. See, thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. So we ask God to cleanse us, but we also go to the priest, and we go to confession, we receive Holy Communion, we attend the church as often as possible, we repent of our sins every day. These things sound so elementary and simple, and like, yes, yes, of course, Father, but surely there's something else to it. But I read a saying of St. Paisios, which I didn't, maybe I still don't understand fully, but I begin to understand better. He said that in the end, I'm paraphrasing, that in the last days, that the people of God will be saved for three things: repenting, going to confession, receiving Holy Communion. And again, that seems so obvious. Well, of course, we're supposed to do that. But now we've come to a time, a strange time in our lives as Orthodox, where going to church is not always an option. It can be difficult to get to the house of God. For some, they haven't returned yet, depending on the restrictions placed on them by their bishops. And we won't discuss the motivations for that or the good Christian reasons that may underlie it, but nonetheless, the sad and tragic result is that many Orthodox Christians are not going to church very often now, that few of them have had an opportunity to confess, that many haven't communed. And so this seemingly simplistic advice becomes suddenly a call to battle, some sort of spiritual labor that you're going to have to put forth. Do you want to go to church? You'll have to make an effort. Do you want to confess? You'll have to find a way. Maybe you'll have to ask the priest to hear your confession by phone, but confess. Don't avoid it. Go to communion as much as the priest blesses you to, as much as you're able to prepare yourself for it. If you've noticed that when you watch the news, what is it doing? What is it trying to sow into our souls? Fear, anxiety, outrage, and anger. That's the best way I can summarize it. Fear, anxiety, outrage, and anger. Do you think any of those is going to nourish your soul or water and fertilize your soul so that good things will grow there? No, not at all. Saint Elder Thaddeus of Vitovnica, in his book Our Thoughts Determine Our Lives, would say that even when you just walk down the street or you pick up a newspaper, the atmosphere of Hades enters you and it troubles you. Immediately you feel that something's wrong. We know that the world is a mess. We already know that people don't love one another as they ought, and sometimes even that they hate each other to the point of violence and cruelty. That we know very well. What we don't know so well, at least as we look to our own sins, we might think, maybe what I don't seem to know so well are the commandments of Christ, or at least the fulfillment of them, and that's my only hope. And it's not selfish to focus there first. And that is our calling as Christians. So as the world is giving us a lot of political prescriptions that will solve our problems, if we just pass this law, if we enact this regulation, if we promote this value system, we'll have peace, justice, equality, freedom for everybody. It'll be great, won't it? That's been heard a lot of times. I don't mock the good intention. I simply note that there's a certain naivety about it. But ask yourself, would the world be better off if everybody read and followed Matthew 5 through 7? Unquestionably. I think even most atheists would agree with that. They would say, yes, Jesus was a wise man, and those sayings of his, they're very good. They're very good. And if we followed them, we'd all be better off. Well, then what further prescription do we need? Don't let anyone tell you that, yes, you have to be a Christian and live out the gospel, but you know, that's not enough, though. There's more that you have to do still. There's a lot of other activism you need to take part in, and you know, a lot of other movements you need to be supporting. No, let's put a nice stop right there. We said, we all agreed that if we lived out the commandments of Christ, we would all be better off. But you can't make your neighbor live out the commandments of Christ. You can't make them read Matthew 5 through 7 and live it out. Only you can do something about it. And it's for you to do something about it today. And if you did, if you truly began to live out, calling upon Christ always for help, live out his commandments in your life, forgive your enemies, bless those who curse you, pray for this poor, suffering world, and all those who are lost and seeking help. If you prayed for them, if you loved them, then a little piece of this world and a little heart within it would be transformed into something beautiful and good. And you can't, and don't underestimate just how much good that truly would do. We reverence our holy saints. We love them so much. And many of them, St. Seraphim of Sarov is a wonderful example, spent years by himself in the wilderness living out the commandments of Christ. And after doing that, he came out into the world. God brought him out into the world so that he could help countless souls. And maybe this is our time to quietly withdraw into the wilderness of our own heart, as I've said before, withdraw into the wilderness and there begin to live out these commandments. Begin to pray more, a little bit more, even if it's just a few Jesus prayers extra in the evening for this suffering world and for your dear ones, for everyone you know who's in need. It isn't nothing. It's the only something you can really do right now. It's the only thing that if you do it, it will encourage others to do it. And then slowly, surely, the light of Christ will begin to dawn in a very dark world, and things will get better. God will take care. He will not abandon the world that he sent his own son to save. May God help us all in our fulfillment of our Christian duty to hear and to obey the commandments of our sweetest Lord Jesus. Amen.